This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
I hit it hard, man. So far, man.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. John Granato, Charlie Epps, and Billy Harmon will be here with you this morning to talk some golf on a chilly morning in the city of Houston. Charlie knows he's out there warming up for his big member today at the big club. Charlie, how are you?
Johnny, I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. And here we go, Charlie. There's a few members going on this week in the city of Houston. I got another buddy playing in one up at Carlton Woods, and they're in first place, and you're in first place. Are you in first place in your flight?
Yeah, how about that? I had a heck of a partner.
How are you playing?
I'm playing, like a 75-year-old man. I hit more funny shots yesterday in competition, but that's what golf's all about. You get to a point, and all the guys, we're playing five different matches and playing with all the members, and it's fun. And I saw some of the damnedest shots yesterday that was, they were horrible.
Well, that's something. No good shots? You didn't see any good shots yesterday, Charlie?
Oh yeah. My partner had 220 to this one hole and hit a three wood 8 feet behind the hole. And I don't want to tell you what I wanted to do with him, but I said I couldn't kiss him on the lips because it was the second to last hole and it helped us win the match. So that's
awesome.
The beauty of match play.
Yep. That's so much fun. For those of you who don't know, you play five 9-hole tournaments, and you're each in flight, six team flights. It's two guys, a best ball. It's just a lot of fun, and it's great competition. You don't have to be good. You just got to be able to compete, and those are always so much fun. So that is great, and Charlie's leading the way, and so he's going to be here half of the show because he's got to get out there, warm up a little bit, and get out there on the course. Billy Harmon is going to be joining us on the other side here as well. So we've got a golf show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. It is brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Let's go, Charlie. We'll bring Billy in on the other side. Don't y'all go anywhere.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Hi, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Bringing in our good friend now, Billy Harmon, from his palatial estate in Palm Springs. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How's everybody?
We're doing great. You can't wake up the dog? Is that why you're talking so quietly?
No, he's in the bedroom in the back of the house. If he hears me, he'll be here.
He will. He'll start snoring.
He'll make a bit on the show when Charlie checks out.
Hey, yeah. Bill, I got a question for you before I have to leave. But, Lee Trevino just turned 81. His passion for the game of golf was second to none. He beat Nicklaus, in majors. He had six majors. He's a poor Mexican kid from the ghetto, and he was so good, Hall of Famer. He loved people. But I got a question. Would he have beaten Tiger like he beat Nicklaus in a major if it was ever to come about?
Well, obviously, we'll never know. It certainly wouldn't surprise me because Lee wasn't afraid of anybody, including Nicklaus. So if you think Nicklaus is as good as Tiger, and I certainly do, then the answer would have to be yes. I think that any of the great players, the great winners, were not intimidated by other players. And so you know, Player wasn't intimidated by Jack or Arnie, and Watson wasn't intimidated by Jack. Trevino obviously beat Jack head-to-head in some major championships, and Jack beat him head-to-head in major championships. So I'd have to say yes, he certainly could beat Doug, because if he ever did get the lead with a couple holes to play, he's going to be able to put it in the fairway, and you never knew if Tiger was going to be able to drive it and play.
But he also was a great wedge player, wasn't he?
He's just a great player. You know, he was the best ball striker I ever saw in person. Now, I saw Hogan when I was a young man, but I didn't know the difference, to be honest with you. But Lee was the best ball striker that I'd ever seen, most creative ball striker. And he would hit those shots on the back nine on Sunday. He wasn't hitting them on the back nine on Tuesday in a money match. He was hitting them on the back nine on Sunday. And, Charlie, you've been around the game long enough to know that when somebody will play a specialty shot on the back nine of Sunday and pull it off, that means they're supremely confident what they're doing.
He was a great showman.
Yeah, that begs the question too, guys. I mean, the competition that Jack had versus the competition the Tiger has had, when you're talking about Johnny Miller and you're talking about Lee Trevino and Hale Irwin and Tom Watson, Gary Player, I mean, these are all-time greats. And Tiger really, who's he had against? I mean, a guy that stood up to him, you know, Phil has been the second-best player of this generation. With his, 42? Is there any comparison? There's really, I mean, Jack had so much more competition than Tiger ever did, didn't he?
Well, he did. I think you could make the argument that he played against more great players. I would say the talent pool is much deeper now in Tiger's era, but I don't know if there's more great players. There's very few people that have stood toe-to-toe with Tiger without parting like the Red Sea, you know, in a major championship in Tiger's heyday. And a lot of guys took Jack on. You know, if you look at the records, it's so hard to compare eras, as we know, in all the sports, really. But Jack's overall record in the majors, forget the wins, the top threes, the top fives, the top tens are light years ahead of Tiger Woods' major records. They're not even close, in my opinion.
19 seconds. But the one thing about Trevino is that he was not afraid, and he just loved to play golf. But I was fascinated by him. But you just got to give him so much credit in what he did in the game of golf.
Yep, just a great ambassador. Yeah, I saw him. A better ball striker than Freddie Couples?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely. More creative.
The one thing that Tiger did that scared the hell out of everybody is when he won the Open at Pebble Beach by 12 shots. You know, that was such an intimidating win that Ernie Els and those guys said, hey, how are we going to beat this guy? So, you know, the history of the game is so great. And you guys are going to talk about a good tournament happening right now in California. But I just had to give Lee Trevino a buck, the Supermex, you know, congratulations on 81. He's working on his club head speed, and he just loves to play golf. And he can talk underwater.
He's got to be shooting his age, I would imagine.
Oh, God, I would imagine he does that easily.
I would imagine.
My age.
Gary Player's still out there shooting his age, isn't he?
If they play from the tees they should play from, they'll be shooting. You know, Frank Beard is 82 or 3 years old, and he still shoots in the 60s at it. This game he plays at the Palms, so he breaks his age sometimes by 15 shots. So, yeah, those guys shooting their age isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Guys like me doing it is a big deal.
Yeah. Speaking of 15 under, man, but Sherwood is just 6,900 yards, guys. You can't have a course at 6,900 yards anymore with these guys. They're just going to bring it to its knees. And and Justin Thomas at 14 right now, and then but Rory's in what 100 and or he's in what 140th place or whatever, and he's 57th place, and he's four under. I mean, it's just unbelievable how they're scoring out there, but it looks so beautiful, and they're making it look easy out there this week.
Yeah, it used to be a pretty decent golf course. In the middle of first round, Jay Haas texted me, said, "Can you believe the scores are shooting?" You know, and you know, once again, we've beaten this horse into the ground, but you know, the ball's going so far, the equipment's so different, the players are much better for sure in that regard, but they really have reduced almost every golf course in America to a chip and putt course, to be honest with you. I don't really find it all that. I much rather watch the Wingfoots, to be very candid. You know, they're gonna probably end up shooting 25 under this week, you know, on a course that used to be pretty decent. You ever been out there, Charlie?
Oh yeah, I walked around it. It was back, you know, 20 years ago. It was a hard golf course.
Yes, it was.
Tight driving, but now, you know, Titleist is introducing a new Pro V1 and the Pro V1 X this week. I mean, they got to cut the PGA Tour's got to step up and put its own ball in place. Get the specifics correct and
not gonna
get
happen.
Their own ball.
It's not going to happen, in my opinion, until the Masters does it. How's that?
You can only use their ball. Yeah. Yep. That'll be interesting to see if they do it, because otherwise, yeah, you can put whatever label you want on a golf ball, but you gotta limit to how far it'll go. Now there's another long drive guy coming out. He's Kyle Berkshire. He's coming out. He's talking to Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson DeChambeau is his inspiration, and they've been talking. And Kyle wants to get out on the tour and just try to overpower the golf course with his swing. His ball speed is 230 miles an hour, and he thinks he might be able to get out there and do something. We've seen other long drive guys that have tried to do. Jamie Sadlowski, I don't know if you guys remember him. He tried to go out there.
Never did anything.
No. But now it'll be interesting, Bill, to see if, you know, Bryson DeChambeau isn't setting the tone for guys, long drive guys.
There's no doubt about that. He is, I think, in the process of changing the game a little bit here. And if nothing else, he's probably going to get all the tours to figure out what are they going to do about this distance stuff that Charlie alluded to.
Well, just look at what Sammy Sosa and McGuire did to baseball. And baseball, you know, said, okay, enough's enough. No drugs, no juice balls. You know, PGA Tour's got to step up and the four majors and say, okay, and the RNA's got to step up. So, guys, it's been great being with you. Wish me luck. We're going to go win the match play championship here at Lochinvar.
They're in first place, trying to get into a horse race today, Billy.
Who are you playing with, Charlie?
Jim Farbarn, he's a new member at Lochinvar. He's an 18 handicap. He's so much fun to play with. I saw so many funny shots yesterday, Bill, and started with me. I chunked two balls so bad, I was unbelievable.
Have you ever been to pro at Lochinvar? Is that one of those clubs you haven't been to pro at?
There's a club in Houston he wasn't a pro at, Billy?
I think so. I'm not sure.
All that says is they really want me around. Everybody wants a little Charlie.
Everybody wants Charlie around.
All right, Charlie. Play well.
Thanks. All right, go get him, Charlie. All right, that's bye-bye. Charlie Epps, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the network. And listen, Willie, me and you got it going on. We're going to bring in the other side. We will have more golf talk for you right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour without Charlie Epps.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. And, Bill, we're looking at a lot of different stuff this. We're looking at Tiger Woods was talking about where he doesn't know what he's going to do. He thinks he might play Houston. This morning, Charlie, first thing he told me, he said, man, it's cold out here. It's in the 50s, high 50s, but it'll warm up to 70. It'll be perfect out there to be playing. But obviously the ball is going to be, it's going to be going differently than it normally does in the spring. We won't have 50 degrees in the spring when we're playing here. We'll get a lot of rain, but we won't get a lot of cold weather like we're going to possibly get in just 2 weeks. Next weekend, it says it'll be in the high 50s in the morning and then in the low 80s. So that'd be awfully nice. But those guys that are teeing off first, and I can imagine that Augusta's going to be something like this, won't it?
Well, you know, I played there last in the middle of October last year, and it was a little chilly in the mornings, but both days shirt sleeves in the afternoon. But I think it could, and I think the thing that I'll be interested in at Augusta is to see how fast the course plays, because when I played there in October, the fairways were very soft and there was no very, very little roll, let's say. It'll be interesting to see, to me, how the course plays relative to the fairways. I'm looking at the Augusta weather, and up until Saturday, the 7th of November, they've got it at 72 degrees, you know,
perfect.
In the mid-70s every day, lows in the low 50s. So, you know, the weather might not be as much of a factor. It's just a matter of how fast they want the course to play, and I'm sure they have the wherewithal to make it play the way they want to. But when I was there in October, the fairways were not quite as good as they are in April, but then again, they weren't getting the course ready for the Masters last October. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they've done things differently here while they were shut down, and I trust it'll be pretty pure.
In your opinion, if the ball is not rolling as well, you're not getting those rolls in the fairway, is the course going to play tougher?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's going to play longer.
Yeah.
And Augusta, in reality, is a second-shot course. And so it's a lot easier to get an 8 or 9 iron on a shelf, let's say, than a 6 or 7 iron on a certain shelf or a certain quadrant of the green. But, you know, once again, the guys hit it so far today, there's no really such thing as a long hole. I know that they've lengthened some holes again there. The fifth hole, they've lengthened quite a bit to bring fairway bunkers into play and things like that. But by and large, it's just very, very difficult when guys hit it 350 yards to make a long hole. If it's a 500-yard hole and they hit it 350, they got a wedge to the green. So the distance that they're hitting it, and I think it's like I've been saying it for a couple of years now, I think it's a travesty almost. It's a joke. You know, they don't let them use aluminum bats in the probably in college even anymore. But, you know, if they let the players use aluminum bats in the major leagues, John, you're a baseball aficionado. How far would they have to move back to fences, you know?
Yeah.
And so how far is too far? And, you know, when is it going to stop? And when do they have to not create courses that are going to be 8,000 yards long just to keep a guy to shoot 69 or 70? So, I don't know. I don't know where the game's going, to be honest with you.
Well, it'll be interesting to see too if the greens, if the fairways are softer, if the greens are going to be softer too, and if the greens are softer.
Well, they have sub air. They have a system called sub air where they can suck the water right out of the greens. If you remember Wingfoot, the first day the greens were quite soft,
uh-huh.
And they took advantage of it, shot very low scores. Friday, all of a sudden the greens got hard, you know, because Wingfoot has a sub-air system too. So there's a system there that can suck the moisture out of it. I don't know if they have it in the fairways at Augusta, but they definitely have it on the greens. So they have a way of combating that, obviously, if they don't have a downpour or something like that.
But, well, Houston is the week before. And like we said, it's cool here, and it might be just perfect weather, 70s during the day. but they're going to let 2,000. It's the first tournament that's going to let patrons in. They're going to let 2,000 people a day onto Memorial Park's golf course. Phil Mickelson says, I don't know if I'm going now because I haven't seen it before because it's the first one out on the tour with some people. I'm unsure, and I don't want to take any unnecessary risks. I don't go out to dinner. I don't go out and socialize because I want to make sure that I have an opportunity to compete in the Masters. So he did go on to say, though, he's really proud of the tour and the way they've handled anything. I'm sure they'll do a great job of keeping the people away from everybody. But because it's the first one with fans, he's not sure if he's going to play. You like the idea of people coming out here in Houston?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think there was a tournament in the Dakotas, a Champions Tour event that allowed spectators. You know, you're seeing it now more and more in NFL stadiums and college football stadiums. As of the moment, it doesn't appear to have been a lightning rod for the COVID. We have a small sample size for sure. But, you know, John, out here in the desert where I live, they've been playing golf really almost straight through the COVID thing. And it appears, I'm not a doctor, but it appears that you're less apt to contact the COVID virus from, you know, outdoor settings when people are hopefully trying to keep some social distance. So I kind of agree with Phil that, you know, you applaud the tour. You were the guy that said it from day one. The tour could be the first sport that could get open because it's played outside in open spaces. And I think what you've said has been true because they've had very few cases of players getting COVID or officials and things of that nature. There have been a few, but they haven't been serious. So, you know, and I also respect the people that are going to play it safe. So, but it looks like they can, you know, the way things are going, that perhaps they can have galleries now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen Adam Scott this week had to pull out. We've seen Dustin Johnson has had to pull out. Hey, Harris English was playing while he had it, actually. They just separated him. He played by himself. And so he was able to play, and then you can socially distance outside and stay away from people. Yeah, I think the golf is perfect for it. I think that Houston is going to be very careful making sure the fan. I don't think that the players are going to be anywhere near the people. The ropes will be back, and everybody will be sufficiently distanced. I understand Phil's concern, but I think they're going to do it very well. And 2,000 people out there on all that acreage with all those holes, yeah, that's nothing. That's next to nothing. And hopefully they won't be able to, you know, even on Sunday on the last hole, they won't be able to all congregate
in
one place.
Basically 100 people on every hole, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what
right.
It is. So
that's nothing, which is nothing.
50 people on each side of the fairway on every hole. So obviously they'll be following groups, and that's not exactly how it's going to work. But if you break the numbers down, 2,000 really is not very much.
No. Well, and Tiger says that he's Houston's a possibility for him. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I read that. Interesting because, you know, he played very poorly the first day, had a decent round the second day. But as I texted you, you know, he shot 6 under par yesterday, 66. And there's it's a limited field of 78 players, and 20 guys shot 7 under or better. So over 25% of the field shot 65 or better. That's how low they're shooting. So even though his 66 was a very good score, it would not have been in the top quarter of players right. Playing that same course the same day. So that's pretty incredible, really.
Right. Well, but at least he played much better as opposed to the 76
yes,
he shot
no,
on the first day.
No doubt about it. He did play better.
Yep, much better. So
but
we'll
and,
see
you
what
know,
Tiger decides.
On the show, John. He's not going to tell us his schedule. And we can
yeah, we're going to take a break.
He's done pretty good.
We got to break it here, Bill. We got another segment to go. Don't you go anywhere. You listen to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Got Billy Harmon here. We're going to another long segment here that we're talking about golf. Nice to see Jason Kokrak last week, huh, Bill? I mean, a guy on the out there on the tour for 10 years had never won, and he was finally able to break through. Shot a beautiful final round. Had Xander Schauffele on his tail all day long. Came from three back and was able to close the deal. That's awful nice to see.
Well, it was interesting watching it for me, John, because he looked so confident, so composed, so calm. And the game is so interesting. Here's a guy that played over 230 PGA Tour events and never won one. And now he's going against a really, really high-quality player in Xander Schauffele, head-to-head. And he never blinked. And you were the way he handled himself, you thought he'd won 20 times. And it's interesting, this game, and I guess sports, you've been following it a long time yourself, you know, this the unquantifiable thing, the zone, getting in the zone, whatever that is. And he appeared to be in the zone, I guess. And it just makes you wonder why you can't get there more often. And why would he be so comfortable? Why would he be so calm doing something that he'd never done before? And so it was a tremendous performance. And he hit a lot of fantastic shots coming down the stretch, starting not the two shots he hit on the 18th hole, you know, with the lead were just fantastic. So it was a great performance. He just hit one quality shot after one quality shot. And he made a lot of putts that just seemed to go right in the middle of the hole at perfect speed. So he had everything going for him.
Yep. And they got everything going for him out there. I'll tell you what, this is Lanto Griffin time. You got to watch him. He's 13 under. He won at Houston last year this time of the year. So he likes fall golf. He's playing.
Terrell Hatton is becoming a prime time player every week too. He's right in there, and he wears his emotions on his sleeve, which tells me he's trying to hit good shots, and he doesn't appear to back off either. So this Terrell Hatton to me is really kind of arrived on the scene here. He's always a good player, but now I think he's really starting to believe that if he plays good, he's as good as anybody.
Yeah, well, and you know, maybe that BMW win, Bill. Sometimes a win at a place. You're right. I mean, that could.
And
he won
at Bay Hill too. You got to remember, Bay Hill's a tough course, and he won in tough conditions. And you know, he played great in Las Vegas after flying 20 hours to get there, and had a bad third day, and then he came right back and played great on Sunday. So, and he's playing good this week. So he'll be tough this weekend.
Absolutely. Bubba is up there. How about he shot 9-under yesterday? Richie Werenski with an 11-under. That's
11
with
special. A bogey.
Patrick Cantlay is up there again, Bill. He's another guy
another
that needs
player,
to learn. Yeah, really, really good.
Really
top 10
good.
Player. And he just needs to learn how to finish week in and week out because he's always up there at the top of leaderboard. The guy I'm interested in, Bill, is if he's going to be around with the Morikawas and the Wolves and the Hovlands is Scottie Scheffler. This guy.
Yeah, we don't talk about him yet because he hasn't won, but Hovland hasn't won either, I don't think. And Scottie was another guy that had the COVID virus. Had to sit out a couple tournaments. He's only two shots back. I think Fratelli went to University of Texas, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe from South Africa. He's in second place with Griffin. But, you know, Justin Thomas is a winner. He plays to win. And my man, Abraham Answer, who I caddied in the group for the last round of the Opens, in there 11 under. And he's a feisty player, too. So I think we've got a pretty good leaderboard on a course where they're going really low. So I think today should be a very interesting round. As I look at the players, we've got 21 guys at 10 under or better. So you got to believe that one of those guys is going to shoot 62 or 3 today. Be very surprised if one of the first three or four leaders shot 62 or 3. So I think somebody's going to come from out of the pack and shoot a super round today and get right up in contention. So it should be a interesting Saturday. They always call Saturday moving day. And I would say today we're going to see a handful of guys make some huge moves.
Right. So back to Scheffler. It's so funny, Bill. It's like, you know, well, he's 24, so he's a little bit older. And, you know, he was for whatever reason, I mean, he was a great player. I don't believe he won a national championship at Texas, but he was a junior player of the year like three times, just a phenom. And then in the first few years out there, he struggled a little bit with the transition to the pro game. And everybody's like, well, he's just not, you know. I mean, unless you step up like Wolf and Morikawa and you start winning championships right away, then he's a bit slow, okay? That amazes me. At 24 years old, we're talking about how he's a slow starter.
But once again, John, you followed sports your whole life, and I watched him very closely in that last group at the PGA at Harding Park with Dustin Johnson. And I like to watch people's body language and to look at them a lot. And he acted as though he'd been there 100 times. He didn't seem to have 1 ounce of fear. Everyone has nerves. Everybody gets nervous. Anybody that thinks they don't is crazy. But there's a difference between nervous and anxious and fear. And I don't think he's an anxious player. I think he's very confident. In fact, that day, they said that he won 75 junior tournaments, which is like the most incredible stat I've ever heard in my life, because I don't know anybody that's ever played in 75 junior tournaments, or has won 75 of them. But then you said he was like three-time player of the year. So he's used to winning. And it's just a matter of him getting comfortable winning on the PGA Tour. And this weekend could be that week. And so, but Morikawa hasn't played very well or as well since he won the PGA. Matthew Wolf has been playing pretty good. Even after he won the U.S. Open, played well in the U.S. Open. And Hovland has played good, but they're going to have their slumps because everybody has them. And we tend to think when these players are playing good that they'll never play bad again. And believe me, they will play bad again.
Everyone, absolutely.
We'll go through a slump. Absolutely. And go, boy, what's happening to Justin Thomas? He's missed two cuts, and right now he's on top of the world. But the game is too hard, too many variables. When they're playing well, and I've said it 100 times on this show, when elite players are playing well, they make a difficult game look easy. And the fact of the matter is, it's not easy. It's very difficult.
It's interesting. Jordan Spieth, he had his dad on the bag, Bill. His regular caddy, I guess, had a death in the family, unfortunately, so he had to leave. But Jordan had his dad on the bag, and he shot 66 yesterday. But on the first day, apparently, they were on like 13, and his dad said, now don't jump on, right before he's about to hit, he said something like, don't jump on this one. And Jordan pulled off, and he said, you don't say that, Dad. You don't say that to a tour player right before he's about to hit. He said, well, two holes ago, you jumped on it, so don't jump on this one. So he likes his dad on the bag, though. It's good to see him at, hell, 8 under. He's out of this tournament. He's at 8 under, so he's got no shot. But it's good to see him shoot a low round at 66.
Given what they can shoot. But he shot 8 under the last 2 rounds at Las Vegas. So he's 16 under his last 4 rounds. So this sometimes that is the beginning of the climbing out of the abyss, So he's had 4 straight pretty good rounds, basically averaging 4 under par, 68 per round. So, maybe this is the start where he's starting to get some mojo, get a little confidence back. And once again, for him, this will be a pretty important weekend. Maybe he can play a solid weekend and get into the top 10. Sometimes you have to start all over by finishing top 20, top 15, top 10, and get your confidence and your mojo back.
Yeah. Well, he's in that group of guys. He and Justin Thomas, they got a gang. Kevin Kisner's in it. He's a little bit older, but he's in that gang. And they all go, they vacation together. They have a lot of fun together. So it's got to be awfully difficult for him, you know, to be seeing Justin Thomas, you know, guys that, you know, you were up there at the top and they were all looking at you. And now you're down there and wondering where your game is while those guys are still flourishing and playing well. So, maybe a little boost of confidence with somebody familiar like his dad. Maybe that'll go a long way for Jordan. Sure, it would be nice because he's such a, by all accounts, you know him a little bit, right? You've met him.
I don't really know him. I've observed him. You know, I was one of Jay's minions on the President's Cup team in 2015, so I was in all the same rooms with him for a week. I didn't really know him, but I observed him. Everything about him from everybody I talked to is top-notch. Never heard anything other than a top-notch human being about Jordan Spieth, and I have always thought that would bode well for him to get out of that slump that he's in. And so just very interesting to – I'd just love to see him get it back. I have great admiration for players in all sports that have been to the top and have lost their confidence, and they have the wherewithal to reach down inside themselves and dig themselves back one step at a time. It's not that easy to do. Because in golf, once you lose your confidence, you become very, very ordinary. And he lost his confidence, but he hasn't lost his desire. So the desire to succeed is a pretty, pretty powerful tool to have, and I think he still has that.
Yep. All right, 52 past the hour. You're listening to Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to wrap it up and send you into the top of the hour. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. All right, one story that before we go, we have to call it quits here this week. Apparently, the Masters is offering for the first time ever, you can buy some merchandise online, Bill. They're offering online
shopping.
Yeah, but
I believe you have to be a ticket holder.
Right. So my question is, wait a minute. So they sold tickets to an event you can't go to?
Well, I get to purchase two tickets. So they told us, I believe, I could be wrong here, hold on to those tickets. They'll be good for next year. They might issue new ones. But
that's
the people
nice.
That have tickets for the 2019 one, I guess,
yeah,
or the one that was in April, excuse me, or 2019, right?
Yep.
You are still 20. On the patron list. I don't know this for a fact. I'm just trying to figure it out. So I would be able to access and buy merchandise if I wanted to. Not just anybody can buy the merchandise, is my understanding, anyway.
Only two transactions, however. So
I'm
not worried about Augusta's money, but I want to tell you, they must have lost a boatload this year not having that merchandise store open. I've been able to go to, I don't know, five or six Masters.
Yeah, you know,
lucky enough.
The guesstimates that I've heard are up to $25 million they'll do that week in merchandise.
Just in merchandise.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Just the merchandise.
Not
the first time I went, Bill. The first time I went, I got to the counter, and I don't even want to say it because my wife might be listening. How much I said, you just get lost because I want that, I want that, I want that, I want that.
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
By the time you're done, you get to the counter, and you're like, oh my gosh, how much money did I spend? And
yeah,
everybody
right.
says, always
yeah.
says, how many people have told you, hey, can you give me? Can you give me a hat? Yeah. Can you give me some money? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Cause... Yeah, if you, I'll get it if you pay for it, you know.
I'll absolutely get it.
24 hats and a dozen shirts and some nice sweaters. And I go, all right, that'll be $2,200, you know. And they don't gouge you there either, by the way.
No,
no. They're not gouging you for the merchandise.
Well, the greatest thing is the food and drink. The food and drink is the best.
The food and drink is 1950s prices.
Right. 1950s. Yeah. Nothing better. And and those pimento cheese sandwiches and the chicken, like Chick-fil-A sandwiches, they're just delicious. Just wonderful.
But she just showed up. Gizmo.
Who's here? Oh, hey, Gizmo, what's going on, buddy?
He doesn't know I'm on the radio show. He's all excited because he thinks I'm going to feed him.
Hey, well, that's, boy, Gizmo. You got your priorities straight there, buddy. I love
yeah, that. That's right.
All right, Bill. Well, maybe Charlie will be on his show next week. We'll see.
You never know. You know, he's the guy who has the gold makes the rules, I guess.
Yeah, that's Charlie. He
who do you like
this week,
weekend,
said,
John?
I it'll be interesting to see, Bill. I love this leaderboard. I'm going to say Patrick Reed is going to step up this week. I'm going to say Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed, did you say?
Patrick Reed.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the L.A. boy, Patrick Reed.
All right, we're done. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a great golf weekend.